There's a lot still to come here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 1 o'clock, Mary Elizabeth Bowser served Jefferson Davis in the Confederate White House. She was also a spy for the Union. After 1 on Talk of the Nation, Neil Conan talks with scholar and author Henry Louis Gates, Jr. about his new encyclopedia of African-American lives, plus Valentine's Day mixtapes. That's coming up at 1 o'clock here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we've been talking about the political scene in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, of course, has the spotlight of the nation right now as our February 19th primary is coming up next Tuesday. And we're talking this hour, the rest of this hour, with Susan Rice, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor to Senator Barack Obama. Susan Rice served as Assistant Secretary of State under President Bill Clinton. And I just want to add that tomorrow morning we will be talking with Ann Lewis, Senior Advisor to Hillary Clinton. On Monday, we'll be talking with the Republican campaigns as well. So lots to look forward to as far as that goes. And Susan Rice, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great to be with you, Veronica.
So are you still in Wisconsin?
No, I'm not.
You're not.
Unfortunately, no.
Maybe fortunately. It's pretty snowy around these parts. Well, I want to ask you about Senator Barack Obama's foreign policy. And one of the biggest criticisms that's been lobbed at him is his lack of experience. And with so many hot-button foreign policy issues right now, like the war in Iraq, the threat of nuclear proliferation, counterterrorism, what can you say to reassure voters who are worried about the experience question?
Well, thank you, Veronica. I think, first of all, people need to put this experience question in perspective. It's been distorted rather dramatically. Barack Obama's been in the Senate for 4 years. He served all 4 years during his Senate tenure on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He chairs the European subcommittee of that committee. He's been a leader on that committee, working with Senator Richard Lugar to pass landmark legislation on nonproliferation and to secure loose nuclear materials. He introduced legislation on Iraq last year that was so well conceived and comprehensive that it became the Democratic Senate leadership's primary vehicle for ending the war in Iraq, which President Bush later vetoed. He has passed legislation on Darfur, on Congo, on many critical issues. He also serves on the Veterans Affairs Committee and the Homeland Security Committee, where he's been a leader in worrying about issues like traumatic brain injury for our returning soldiers and mental health care, and in ensuring that our ports and our chemical plants and our critical infrastructure at the homeland is secured. So he's got a very lengthy legislative record and set of experiences in his time in the Senate. And people tend to forget that those 4 years in the Senate working on these issues already gives Senator Obama far more traditional foreign policy experience than most of our recent past presidents, more than Jimmy Carter had, more than Ronald Reagan had, more than Bill Clinton had, and certainly more than George W. Bush had. The one exception was George H.W. Bush, who had been our ambassador to China and the United Nations, as well as CIA director. But Barack Obama has more traditional foreign policy experience than virtually all of our recent past presidents. But it's not just about time in Washington and traditional experience. It's also about two other things, Veronica. The first is judgment, and the second is personal experience. When it comes to judgment, which is what you'd hope experience would give you, and we've seen that you can have many, many years on the seat and not the best judgment, as Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney have demonstrated, you really want somebody who will get it right from day one. And Barack Obama has exhibited vision and judgment and prescience on the critical foreign policy issues of our time.
Let me just jump in here. You've certainly listed a lot of things that it sounds he's building a growing resume in foreign policy. And as far as the war in Iraq goes, that has been the platform for the Democrats' growth in that area. But you still got the 4 years in the Senate question, which is still 4 years at the end of the day. And I'm wondering, will he be looking for a vice presidential pick that's especially strong in foreign policy, or maybe, as Cheney was to Bush, someone who's really got the experienced sort of resume behind them?
Well, I think, obviously, as Senator Obama weighs his vice presidential choice, there'll be a number of factors that he'll take into consideration. And I imagine that all of those will be among them. But let's recall, as I said, that as Relative to our recent past presidents, he already has more traditional foreign policy experience. And the judgment question, Veronica, I do want to come back to, because that's critical. It took wisdom and judgment to oppose this war in Iraq from the very beginning and to oppose it consistently every day since. It took wisdom and judgment to stand up and oppose giving President Bush the benefit of the doubt about going to war in Iran, which Senator Clinton did and Senator McCain did by voting for the Kyle Lieberman Amendment. And it takes judgment and courage to say that the United States is a strong and proud country that knows our values and shouldn't be afraid to negotiate directly with our adversaries, just as Ronald Reagan did, as Richard Nixon did, and as John F. Kennedy did. So this judgment, I think, is critically important, and it's something that Barack Obama has demonstrated that that not as many others in the field have. And then there's personal experience. The fact that he has spent important years of his life in his youth living abroad in a developing country, emerging from independence, a predominantly Muslim country in which he lived as a Christian, is a very interesting perspective in a world where our standing is at an all-time low, where we need to reach out back to people and indicate that the United States is leading from the vantage point of a country that wants to bring others aboard and rebuild relationships that have been so badly damaged and renew our leadership of the world so that we can be more secure.
Well, I want to ask you about that. There is a strong desire, especially among Democrats, for the next president to reestablish ties with the UN, with Britain, with NATO. Is that something Senator Obama is going to be strongly looking at, making it a priority?
Absolutely. We have lost so much over the last 8 years with leadership that essentially has given the world the message it's our way or the highway. You're with us or against us. And for obvious reasons, countries, even our closest friends like Canada, don't respond well to that message. Barack Obama understands that the United States must play a preeminent leadership role in the world. But for us to be secure, for us to deal with the kinds of threats that we face in the 21st century, whether terrorism or climate change or disease or proliferation, we cannot tackle these alone. These are inherently transnational challenges, global challenges that require cooperative solutions. So that means that the United States, despite our concerns and frustrations with the United Nations, need to reengage and be a constructive player to reform that institution and make it perform. And equally, we have to reach back to our traditional allies and indeed new partners around the world and indicate that America is ready to lead not only for our own sake, as important as that is, but for the greater global good. And that's the kind of leadership we have not had for too long, and that the world is desperately looking for.
I want to change direction here for just a moment. I know that your area of expertise is foreign policy, but I wonder if you've seen a couple of the critiques, a couple which ran in the New York Times recently, from Democratic and Republican commentators, who wonder if Senator Obama is riding this wave of momentum thanks to a kind of cult of personality. And I wonder if you're worried at all that some people are maybe too into Senator Obama and it could wind up turning on him.
That's an interesting perspective. I think, you know, there is no cult of personality. Barack Obama is one of the most down-to-earth, authentic, regular guys you'll want to meet. And he is humble. He understands, and his wife, Michelle, is the first to underscore that he is, you know, comes from very humble beginnings, and it wasn't very long ago that they paid off their student loans and bought their first home. These are regular people who are struggling with the very real challenges that we, many of us, face as parents of young children, as people balancing two careers. All these challenges are very real everyday challenges, and they're ones that Barack and Michelle Obama have lived very personally. So there's a lot of excitement about Barack Obama. He represents change. He represents our ability to unify as a nation and overcome our past divisions. He has spent the last year laying out in very specific and detailed terms how he would address the critical problems that our country faces, revitalizing our economy, creating new jobs, dealing with the housing crisis, dealing with global warming, ending the war in Iraq responsibly. And I think people are responding both to the substance of his policies and his leadership agenda, but also to the fact that he represents a very welcome and I think needed break from the past. But that's not a cult of personality. That's people becoming enthusiastic, motivated, and participating in the process like they've never done before. I think it's one of the most exciting trends we've seen in our politics in my lifetime.
Well, Susan Rice, I want to get our callers in on this, so I'd like to go ahead and take a call from Steve in Waupaca. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One thing I'd like to point out is that Bush didn't even have a passport before he became president. So this all of this talk about Obama not having enough experience, he's obviously already had far more experience than Bush had. And to compare him to a president who for somehow, some way, could lose the support of the world that we had after 9/11, I don't see how, you know, the average man off the street couldn't have a worse policy than what Bush has had. Thank you. I'll take my comments off the air.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Susan Rice?
Well, Steve is absolutely right. He points out that we really have hit a low point in our relationships with our allies and partners around the world. After 9/11, we had an enormous opportunity to bring the world together, to rally around a responsible and effective approach to al-Qaeda and the challenge of terrorism. We also had an opportunity domestically to ask the American people to do more than go shopping, but to rally in a real way behind our nation and to serve and to sacrifice. President Bush squandered all of that. And that's another dramatic contrast with Barack Obama, who inspires people to want to give to their country, to serve their country, to participate in the process. And similarly, internationally, Barack Obama shows the rest of the world, when he would be inaugurated next year, January 20th, 2009, that America is profoundly capable of growth and change, of learning from our recent mistakes, such as the Iraq War, but also learning from generations and indeed centuries of our own historical challenges here in this country. So Barack Obama is uniquely suited to help the United States press the reset button with our allies and partners around the world and begin afresh in our mutual interest.
We're talking this hour with Susan Rice, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor to Senator Barack Obama. She served as Assistant Secretary of State under President Bill Clinton. If you'd like to join in our conversation, there is time left for you at 1-800-642-1234. The number 1-800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickard, and today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up today on Wisconsin Public Radio, Chapter a Day at half past noon. Join Jim Fleming as he reads from American Creation, Triumphs and Tragedies at the Founding of the Republic by Joseph J. Ellis. That's Chapter a Day at 12:30 here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert, back with you today. I'm in for Kathleen Dunn as we talk with Susan Rice, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor to Senator Barack Obama. She served as Assistant Secretary of State under President Bill Clinton. And Susan Rice, let's take a call from Saeed in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, and thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I want to inquire about what is the likely position that President Obama would take vis-a-vis Iran, and in specific, I'd like to address two areas. Would he tolerate a nuclear Iran? Would he agree that the possession of a nuclear weapon by Iran is not the worst of all potential outcomes? Would he agree with that statement? And second, for all that we can criticize President Bush for, he told the Iranian people that as they stand for their freedoms, the Americans will stand with them. Will that promise be withdrawn by Barack Obama, or will he support the struggle that the Iranian people are having in defense of human rights and in defense of their efforts to become free of the tyrants that rule them? And how do you square the proposition to talk to our enemies? Will you be creating dialogue with the tyrants that are oppressing the Iranian people, or will you be creating a dialogue with the masses of Iranians that are earning for freedom?
Thank you for that call, Saeed.
Well, let me begin with the first part of his question, which is whether the worst possible outcome would not be a nuclear Iran. Barack Obama has been very clear that Iran poses a very serious challenge and indeed threat on multiple levels. Iran remains an active state sponsor of terrorism. It is very threatening towards Israel. It is meddling and in fact has provided weapons to insurgents inside of Iraq, which have hurt our forces. And, of course, it is pursuing a nuclear program. Whether they turn out to weaponize that nuclear program or not remains to be seen. But that is of serious concern, and it's a concern that Barack Obama views as paramount and grave. And no, a nuclear Iran would not be an outcome that one could easily tolerate or live with. Instead, Barack Obama would try to do his utmost to dissuade Iran from pursuing a nuclear program that could lead to a nuclear weapons capability. And he has made clear that we can't take any options off the table preemptively to respond to that concern. But he thinks before we start beating the drums of war, as many in the Bush administration and the neoconservative community in Washington have done, we ought to impose on Iran significant sanctions, which we haven't to date, and at the same time pursue direct negotiations with the Iranians. The National Intelligence Estimate, which came out last fall, indicated that the Iranians respond rationally to carrots and sticks or incentives and punishments, that there is indeed time for negotiations with the Iranians given the course of their nuclear program, and that such negotiations could possibly yield a desired result. The Bush administration has refused to try that. Barack Obama has said that his administration would be willing to engage unconditionally at senior levels with the Iranians with due preparation to see if there is a negotiated possibility when combined with sanctions and pressure. That in no way precludes what Saeed was suggesting on the other half of the equation, which is demonstrating strong support for the Iranian people in their aspirations for freedom and democracy and respect for human rights. Barack Obama is a committed advocate of democracy and human rights, and that will be a centerpiece of his foreign policy globally. But he doesn't think we can impose democracy through the barrel of a gun. We cannot succeed simply by toppling regimes we don't like. Democracy has to be something that is owned and respected and embraced and institutionalized in the societies that we're talking about. So talking to the Iranian regime, as repugnant as that regime is, in no way precludes and, in fact, increases the importance of lending our support to the democratic aspirations and the human rights of the people of Iran.
Susan Rice, thank you so much. We have to leave it there. I wish that we had more time with you, but I really thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you. We've been talking with Susan Rice, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor to Senator Barack Obama. Susan Rice served as Assistant Secretary of State under President Bill Clinton, and we thank her for her time. And we thank you for calling to support Wisconsin Public Radio. We are in the midst of our winter membership drive, looking for $3,000 this hour. We have 1,500 to go, but thank you to the 12 of you who have called in this hour already, and we know you'll be joined by your friends and neighbors. The number to call to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio is 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Joining me in the studio again, Steve Paulson, executive producer of To the Best of Our Knowledge. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Veronica. That number again, 800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org. Think about what you just heard. I talk about some of the most important public policy issues out there right now. What a potential future president might do in terms of foreign policy. I mean, that's the kind of in-depth analysis and presentation that you get day in and day out on Wisconsin Public Radio. I think that's a wonderful reason to call in to offer your support for this kind of extended conversation that you hear. As Veronica was saying, we have a goal of $3,000. We're about halfway there. We have not quite 10 minutes left. Will you help us reach that goal of $3,000?
And as a little bit of a sweet enticement here, Steve and I have been telling you about a special event that we would like to invite you to when you pledge at the $600 level. We are putting on a special event combining two of my favorite things. I'm pretty sure two of your favorites as well, chocolate and radio. We'll be putting on the event with Jim Fleming, Steve Paulson, and Strain Champs. Myself, I'll be there as well. I do work on To the Best of Our Knowledge when I'm wearing my other hat here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And that will be the afternoon of April 26th, and we'll be having some nice, sweet conversation right here in the studio, in our Buck Studio of Wisconsin Public Radio, interviewing three local chocolatiers, Gail Ambrosius, David Bacco of Cocolico, and Marcus Candinas. And these are really beyond chocolatiers. They're artists. If you see their chocolates, if you taste their chocolates, you'll know that they are just divine. Ambrosia does come to mind there, and I'm sure you've had them before, but if you haven't, you'll really be in for a treat. And each of them will be bringing those chocolates to you for you to taste and enjoy. So if you'd like to come to that, we'd love to have you when you make your pledge of $600 at 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org.
And of course, a pledge at any level is wonderful. A pledge of $60 would be terrific. A pledge of $120 would be great. A pledge of $600 would help us get to our goal, perhaps even a little bit faster. The goal is $3,000. Let me just tell you a little bit more about this event, because I think it'll be really pretty special. We will be talking with these three wonderful chocolatiers, and they will not only will be sampling their chocolates, they'll also be talking about how they make chocolate, and it will raise the discussion of chocolate to a new level that you probably have never been to before. We will also show you a behind-the-scenes look of how we put together a radio show. And we'll be talking about To the Best of Our Knowledge, and we'll be doing an interview with these three chocolatiers. We'll show you how then we edit the interview. It'll be very much a behind-the-scenes look at how a radio show is put together. So it's kind of a two-for-one, a celebration of chocolate and a celebration of radio. And again, that is yours for a pledge of $600. So if you'd like to bring someone else, two tickets for $1,200 when you pledge right now, that will get us more quickly to our goal of $3,000 by the end of the hour. The number to call, 800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org.
And let's not forget that it's Valentine's Day, one of the sweetest days of the year, the day of love, and a great time to show your love to Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe give a shout out to Kathleen as well when you call with your pledge this morning, and show her that you support her programming, even though she can't be with us this week. Kathleen is incredibly passionate about putting together the show with producer Rhonda Fanning and Carmen Jackson, and they really do bring you the latest and the best and the brightest and the most provocative thinkers that are out there. I know that Rhonda Fanning is always on her cell phone waiting to take that next call from the big guest, and they really are working at this job almost 24 hours a day, so a lot of love is put into the program, and it's time for you to show us your love. We know you love Wisconsin Public Radio because you listen, but now show us you love us with your pledge of financial support as well. Do call us this morning. We'd be happy to hear from you at 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge online, WPR.org.
We're nearing the end of our winter pledge drive, and when we talk about these goals, for instance, the $3,000 goal for this hour, it's important because we try to reach the goal that helps us keep on track of our overall budget needs. And so these are not just idle comments about, oh, wouldn't we like to have $3,000? No, we need $3,000 by the end of the hour. We have about 5 minutes left right now. You can help us out with a pledge of any amount. It could be a $50 pledge. A $120 pledge will give you the member benefit card. Two-for-one entrees at 230-some restaurants around the state. Two nights at B&Bs for the price of one at dozens of bed and breakfasts. Two-for-one admissions to a number of cultural events. It's a wonderful wonderful bargain, frankly. And when you start looking down the list, and it's a great way to support Wisconsin Public Radio. And that is yours for a pledge of $120 or more. Again, the number 800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org. And remember that when you call in and pledge, we will not give your name, your information to anyone else. We don't sell that information. That is secure information.
I don't know, Steve, do you notice something? Do you notice what I'm noticing? It's quiet.
It is quiet.
The phones are not ringing. We have the sound up in Pledge Central. We're not hearing the phones ring. We know you're listening and thinking about it. We hope you do seize the moment and seize the day to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can be the one to make that music to our ears as you support Wisconsin Public Radio, and you encourage your friends, your neighbors, and your community to support Wisconsin Public Radio as well. And it's really incredibly easy to do. It just takes a few minutes of your time this morning. You'll get to talk to one of our volunteers back there, and they'll help you figure out ways to pay your pledge. You could do it all at once in monthly installments, which is a nice way to spread it out over the year. We do take all the major credit cards, or perhaps you'd like to become a sustaining partner with an ongoing monthly gift with a credit card, debit card, or electronic funds transfer. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, I think that's not a bad way to go. With a check, we'll send you a reminder in the mail. So it's incredibly easy. It just takes a few minutes. And send some comments while you're there, too. Tell us what you're thinking, tell us what you enjoy, and tell us what you'd like to hear. It all starts with your call at 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772, that all-important number to call.
And think of all that you get from Wisconsin Public Radio. It's discussion of politics, of the big policy issues of the day, as we've been listening for the past hour. It's an insight into the great cultural events and movements of our time, interviews with authors, with musicians. It's a discussion of ideas. You get all of that on all kinds of different programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a rich cultural and political resource. But we need to pay for that. This does not come free. We have just, for instance, for these talk shows, we have the 800 number that we have to pay for. We have to pay for the time that it takes to find all the guests. So we need your help right now. We only have a couple of minutes left. We're trying to reach that goal of $3,000. The number to call, 800-383-9772. That's 800-383-9772.
1-800-383-9772, going for $3,000, and we have about $1,300 to go. You can join David and Marilyn in Duluth, who say they like the Ideas Network and thinks that all the shows are good. That's great. And Evelyn in Cambridge, she's a longtime listener that believes in Wisconsin Public Radio. You believe in Wisconsin Public Radio, too. That's why you listen. That's why you depend on it. And that's why you should support us right now. It's a good hour to do so. Valentine's Day, show us the love there, and we show you the love with the programming every day. The number to call, 1-800-383-9772. We don't give your information to anyone else, and it just takes a few minutes of your time, but it really does make all the difference in the world. 1-800-383-9772 or online, WPR.org.
And again, for the pledge of $600, a special chocolate event on Saturday, April 26th, we'll be having a chocolate extravaganza. This is our Valentine's Day special, I guess you could say, our Valentine's Day offer. We'll be having three wonderful chocolatiers, Gail Ambrosius, David Bacco, and Marcus Candinas. They'll all be here talking about chocolate, the fine art of making chocolate. We'll be tasting their chocolates. We'll also give you an inside look at how a radio show was put together, the Peabody Award-winning show To the Best of Our Knowledge, and Jim Fleming and Strange Champs, Veronica Rickert, and I will all be there. We'll show you how that's done. Anyway, I think it'll be a afternoon of great fun, and that is yours, a ticket to that for a pledge of $600. So the number to call, 800-383-9772. You can also pledge online WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772. Make this a sweet day for us. It'll also be a sweet day for you. We appreciate your support and thank you for calling to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you to Rhonda Fanning for producing The Last Hour. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.